As we entered the cafeteria on 45th Street and picked up our trays, she spoke animatedly. "Ordinary people," she said, "can see only a little bit. They can't change much or go any higher than they are. But you're a genius. You'll keep going up and up and see more and more. And each step will reveal worlds you never even knew existed." People on the line who heard her turned to stare at me, and only when I nudged her to stop did she lower her voice. "I just hope to God," she whispered, "that you don't get hurt." For a little while after that, I didn't know what to say. We ordered our food at the counter and carried it to our table and ate without talking. The silence made me nervous. I knew what she meant about her fear, so I joked about it. "Why should I get hurt? I couldn't be any worse off than I was before. Even Algernon is still smart, isn't he? As long as he's up there, I'm in good shape." She toyed with her knife, making circular depressions in a pat of butter, and the movement hypnotized me. "And besides," I told her, "I overheard something. Professor Niemer and Dr. Strauss were arguing, and Niemer said he's positive that nothing can go wrong." "I hope so," she said. "You have no idea how afraid I've been that something might go wrong. I feel partly responsible." She saw me staring at the knife, and she put it down carefully beside her plate. "I never would have done it but for you," I said. She laughed, and it made me tremble. That's when I saw that her eyes were soft brown. She looked down at the tablecloth quickly and blushed. "Thank you, Charlie," she said, and took my hand. It was the first time anyone had ever done that, and it made me bolder. I leaned forward, holding onto her hand, and the words came out. "I like you very much." After I said it, I was afraid she'd laugh, but she nodded and smiled. "I like you too, Charlie. But it's more than liking. What I mean is... oh, hell, I don't know what I mean." I knew I was blushing, and I didn't know where to look or what to do with my hands. I dropped a fork, and when I tried to retrieve it, I knocked over a glass of water and it spilled on her dress. Suddenly, I had become clumsy and awkward again, and when I tried to apologize, I found my tongue had become too large for my mouth. "That's all right, Charlie," she tried to reassure me. "It's only water. Don't let it upset you this way." In the taxi on the way home, we were silent for a long time, and then she put down her purse and straightened my tie and puffed up my breast pocket handkerchief. "You were very upset tonight, Charlie. I feel ridiculous. I upset you by talking about it. I made you self-conscious." "It's not that. What bothers me is that I can't put into words the way I feel." "These feelings are new to you. Not everything has to be put into words." I moved closer to her and tried to take her hand again, but she pulled away. "No, Charlie. I don't think this is good for you. I've upset you, and it might have a negative effect."